to establish and sustain the quality of attunement, both in the mental and the physical worlds. The most helpful method is to take a simple object, focus for attention, like the rhythm of the breathing, the natural flow of the breath, to take that cluster of sensations, place that at the very center of attention, and to use that as a reference point for the present moment. The more that the attention is distracted into opinions and fantasies, plans and memories, it's naturally out of tune, losing the resolution upon the present reality. So, the more the attention can be grounded in the present, the more that quality of attunement, that samma, that harmonious quality can be established and developed. So after the posture has been established at the beginning of a sitting, then bring attention to the rhythm of the breath, or you can use other simple, accessible objects, but to use that as a flag or a reference point, something that marks the present reality. The breath is particularly helpful for many people, since the very qualities, the very aspects, attributes of the breath also resonate. They match the qualities of the awake mind. Breathing in is the inspiration, literally inspiring, breathing in. So the in-breath has a automatic, natural, energizing, arousing quality, fresh breath. Helps the mind to wake up, to be alert. So the in-breath supports the rousing qualities of the pure heart, the awake mind, bringing energy, alertness, brightness of mind, the ability to investigate. The out-breath has the qualities of relaxation, the sigh of relief, letting go. So the natural, say, easing, settling, relaxing quality of the out-breath resonates those aspects of pasadi, calmness, samadhi, concentration, upekha, equanimity. So the very texture of the breath, the sensations of the breath, help to support these factors of enlightenment, these qualities of the pure heart. We don't have to be thinking this all through as we breathe, but just being aware of how the breath feeds and supports these qualities. Using the breath consciously to help develop what is needed. If the mind is sluggish and sleepy and dull, then bring close attention to the in-breath, the arousing, refreshing, brightening qualities of the inhalation. If you're busy and agitated, stressed, the mind is hopping around all over the place, there's a lot of tension in the body, notice that. Bring particular attention to the out-breath. Lean into that relaxing, letting go quality. It's up to each one of us to recognize what is needed in any particular moment. No one else can tell us. We have to be our own judge, our own driver, driving our own vehicle. What's useful? What's needed in this moment? As the period of group practice proceeds, this is about the third day now, as we commit a lot of time and attention to formal practice, then it's natural for the system to settle down a bit, putting aside other duties, giving a lot of effort and energy, putting that into a formal meditation, things start to settle and calm down somewhat. As and when you find the ability to focus in the present is easier and more natural, the causes for distraction, agitation have fallen away. Whether it's today or tomorrow, whenever. As and when you find it easier for the attention to stay with the present, the flow of perceptions here and now, then at that point, it's quite appropriate, useful, to not focus on that particular object of the breathing. Just like on a golf course, you have the flag to show you where the hole is if you're 200 or 300 yards away. Once you're on the green, close to the hole, you don't need the flag anymore. The hole's right in front of you. You can see it. So in exactly the same way, when the attention is on the green, is here in the present, it's not drifting or wandering, not caught up with distractions and conceptual proliferations, there's no need for that flag. Can let the breath be part of the flow, the whole complex of perceptions arising and ceasing. The weight of the body on the cushion, the sound of the pigeons crowing in the morning, random thoughts, memories arising, taking shape, dissolving, whatever it might be. Can let go of the particular content of the field of perception to look at its process. When we speak about vipassana, insight meditation, it's exactly this, letting go of the interest in a particular object, say focusing on the breath or the footsteps, to open the attention, to broaden the field of awareness, to include everything. So all of the patterns of perception of the present become the meditation object. The heart embodies that quality of knowing. Knowing the arising of sound and feeling, thought, perception, taste, smell, touch, visual forms, coming and going, changing. But the heart remains established in that quality of knowing, receiving the flow of perceptions. Again, rather like the breath, receiving it, breathing it in, knowing it, letting it all go. And just like the breath, when the oxygen reaches the blood, that's the life source, it's that quality of knowing, conscious awareness. Knowing that you are knowing, it is the life source. Taking in the perceptions of each moment, being aware, oh, this is a sound, here's a memory, here's a mood. This is a sad feeling, this is an irritated feeling. This is a confused feeling, that's what this is, it's this. Then letting it go, breathing it out, releasing the formation, like breathing out the carbon dioxide from the body, letting the husk of that sankhara fade away. It was always essenceless, never had an essence, never had a core or a heart, a solidity. So to establish the practice of vipassana, insight meditation, is an opening of the heart, a broadening of awareness, and a receptivity. Once again, applying this attitude of loving kindness or radical acceptance, receiving the pleasant, the painful, the wanted, the unwanted, the familiar, the unfamiliar, the coarse and the fine, the sacred and the profane, the inner and the outer, receiving it all, knowing it all, letting it go, breathing it in, knowing it, letting that knowing be fully conscious, letting everything go. This quality of knowing that you know is called apperception. It's that full awareness of being attuned, having no delusions about what is present in the field of experience in this moment. Not just cognizing the object as a sound or a thought, but knowing it as empty, as not self, as no thing that can be held, or no thing which is a danger, or no thing which is a problem, or a desirable possession. That awakened awareness, or what we call vichara, this is a natural attribute of the pure heart. What we call the Buddha wisdom or Buddha knowing is exactly this vichara. One of the qualities of the Buddha is vichara charana sampanno, accomplished in knowledge and activity, perfect in knowledge and conduct. Oh, in this process, it's also important to be bearing in mind, it's not me trying to develop a vipassana, or am I ready to let go of the breathing, and am I ready to begin vipassana yet? I want to start on the insight practice. I'm getting lost, I'm getting confused, I need to go back to the breath again. Certainly, if we endeavor to open the heart, open the awareness in this way, and the attention is getting caught, snagged by memories and ideas, feelings and perceptions, then it's appropriate to bring the attention back to the breathing, back to the feelings of the body, to reestablish the posture, to refocus the attention, steady the awareness here in the present. But even as that is carried out, it's important not to put that into the framework of self-view. I should do this. I want to do that. I'm feeling this. To be developing the skill of practicing Dhamma free of self-view, effort being made based on mindfulness and wisdom rather than me doing some practice. Me doing concentration, me doing insight, me having an insight, me having an insight into anatta, it's even more peculiar. But it's easily done. Those kind of mistakes are easily made. That sense of I, the doer, I, the meditator, I, the monk, the nun, the novice, the anagarika, the meditator, I, the experiencer, that easily slides in the back door and takes over. So as these skills are developed, as this work is being done, bring attention to that. When that eye-making and mind-making slips in, my practice, my mind, my problems, my progress. Notice that. Let that be another thing that is let go of, another sankhara, that the emptiness of is recognized. The essenceless nature recognized. That feeling of I am is as empty as any other perception or sensation, any sound or flavor, any color, any form. The I feeling is just a feeling. Ahankara, made of I am. Mamankara, made of mineness. It's made, formed, conditioned, compounded, contingent. Therefore empty, essenceless. Once again, each one of us needs to be making a judgment, discerning what's useful, what's appropriate. Maybe sitting still with our eyes closed, it's very easy to stay attentive to the present. But as soon as we open our eyes and the body starts moving around, woof, lost, carried away, caught in me going somewhere, me doing something. Particularly around actions like talking or eating, working. A sense of me doing something, me the agent, is very convincing. Easily the mind falls into that, believes in that. But during the course of the day, whether it's times when it's easier to focus in the present, or when it's harder, when the mind gets more distracted, to sustain this quality of bringing attention to the present, knowing the feelings that are here, knowing this flow of perceptions, the body still, the body moving, the mind quiet, the mind active. So in this way there's also a sustaining of continuity. It's not like as soon as the bell goes, the practice is over, or as soon as we're queuing in the sala, the mealtime, the practice is completely forgotten. Sustain that quality of attention, bringing the awareness to the present moment, opening the heart to that, a flow of perception and feeling, and then witness the results of that. See what the effect of grounding the heart in that quality of vicha, of open, awakened awareness. See the results of that. The more the attention is attuned to the present reality, what effect does that have? How is that? The more that the practice is not cast in the form of me doing something to get some result, but rather guided by mindfulness and wisdom. What's the result of that? What difference does that make? Look, notice for yourself. See how it works. And then let that quality of spaciousness, peacefulness, clarity be the guiding force, the guiding light. It speaks for itself. The result of practicing in this way, it's self-evident. It brings peace, brings freedom, that can be known directly.